One of the things that struck me, I don't know if you noticed, but as we were in worship today, we all opened the windows and let the whole village hear. It spoke about the year of Jubilee. Now, as you look through Scripture and you study Jubilee, it's a time where everything was written off, everything was forgiven. Well, the Bible says today is the day of salvation, and this is a year of Jubilee, where God writes off certain things. If we have sins, the Bible says, as we confess our sins, He is gracious to forgive us our sins. It's a year of Jubilee. If we don't know who this Jesus is, then salvation can visit our homes through repentance. It's the year of Jubilee. And Janet, if you need earmuffs, just let me know and I'll get you a set. Thanks, team, for worship. It was really good. I look through Scripture, and I don't know about yourselves, but I don't know whoever coined this phrase, but I don't think it's true. They said, you know, church is a safe place. I don't think it is a safe place. It's safe as far as people being protected and young lives and vulnerable people, but it's not safe from God's conviction or God's encouragement. It's not safe when God's word is spoken and declared, because when His word is spoken, it does something. The Bible says it doesn't come back not having accomplished what it went forward for. So when some people say, this may be a weak word, or it may be something that's kind of milkish, have you read Scripture? I find it so challenging. Even when I prepare things myself, it's like, ouch, Lord. But when we take God at His word, we can be overcomers, more than conquerors. So I want to continue in the story as the backdrop of Acts 17, or Acts 27, should I say, where it talks about Paul's journey. And I want us to understand, yes, I've been saying this for quite a while now, a number of weeks, but I believe that when we're in the storms of life, we need these anchors. We need God's word. We need His grace. We need His revelation. We need to be reminded of who we are in Christ Jesus through the tough times and the non-tough times. We need to be reminded that we are who God says we are. And we can come to a gathering like this, or we can switch on a TV or listen to a podcast, and we can be encouraged how wonderful we are, and we are wonderful. But we can also be challenged that Christ in us, the hope of glory. God is doing a work in you. You've been chosen. You've been redeemed. You've been encouraged. No weapon forged against you should be able to prosper. And I've been a Christian for a few years now. And I take His blood and I say, Lord, protect me for such a time as this. And in our hymns today, in the music today, it was saying that He's coming back. He's coming back, and He's coming back for a victorious bride. That's you, and that's me. So when we look through this Scripture, we see that there was a treacherous storm, even though it seemed calm. You know, we all know somebody, and maybe even us, with times where you think, do you know what, all is well. Everything's good. And then suddenly, there's a bit of a breeze. I must get the washing in. And then all of a sudden, are they my roof tiles flying off? There's a storm, isn't it? And it is suddenly. It just comes upon us. And the Bible gives us fair warning. The Bible tells us that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. So I'm privileged to be able to encourage myself and encourage us as a congregation. All those that are yet to come in, because I believe God is building His church. It's not through my eloquence or your eloquence. It's through Him, isn't it? It's His Spirit. He's doing something, I believe. And I'm really encouraged in this season. Even though on the outside you think, Lord, what are you doing? What are you doing, Karen says. On the outside, but He's doing something. He's working. How do we know that? Because we belong to Him. So even though it was a disastrous situation, Paul has said, listen to what the Spirit is saying. But they said, no, we're going to take the advice of the multitude, the majority. He goes on to say that gentle wind was blowing, and then a hurricane force came up around us. Fear started to engulf all those that were on board. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can start to be afraid too. We sing the songs, we read the scriptures, we're encouraged week by week, day by day. but sometimes fear can come in. Well, perfect love casts out all fear, and maybe that's what our anchor will be next week. But this week, it's an understanding of encouraging you and encouraging me to know what God's word says. Using this as a backdrop, I know. I'm not going through it verse by verse and bringing systematic theology, but I want to bring something that will encourage us, but based in his truth, not in what we think, but what he says. It talked about in verse 20 that there's neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days. There was darkness all around us. And these individuals, they lost hope. It says they gave up all hope in being saved. In the storms of life, whether it's family, whether it's financial, whether it's spiritual, whether it's to do with our health, whether it's to do with how we feel about ourselves, there are times where we're good-meaning, born-again, spirit-filled Christians who say, Christ is my Lord and Saviour. Sometimes we feel like giving up. We've lost all hope. Well, I'm here today to say to you, if Christ is in you, he is for you. And if he is for you, then who can be against you? These are words that we need to understand, not just know, but actually understand. They went without food for a long time. And yes, it's easy to illustrate these scriptures. And I could say to you, and I will say to you, this was natural food. But for us as Christians, if we don't eat spiritual food, we'll be those that will lose weight. My wife says, yes, please, Andrew. But spiritually, we want to be those that are fed on the word, that are challenged by the word. And when we look at the situation around us, it may look as if it's dark, but we're the light. So you make a difference. But Paul says, now I urge you to keep up your courage. We need men and women around us, don't we, who will say, keep up your courage. I know it seems hard, but keep going. Keep going. And in the garden, Jesus, it says that he was in anguish, but he went a little further. So go a little further. You know, there's a story, and I'm not quite sure of the details, but I think the truth of it is what I'm going to tell you. There's someone who was swimming a long distance, let's say it was the channel, and fog started to descend, and they just gave up. And they got put into the boat, and they didn't realise, because of the fog, they was only a few metres away from shore. If only they'd gone a little further. And that sometimes can be me and you in our Christian lives. But you don't know what it's like to walk this walk. Well, Jesus does. Jesus does. He's been there. He's done that. He has the marks on his body to show that he died so we could live. He gave everything so we could take everything. But we need to take it. We need to be those that will encourage one another to keep up our courage, just as Paul did in this situation. Just as he did. Do not be afraid, he says in verse 24. It's easy to let fear overtake, but the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. And scripture says God is love. That's the love that we will be talking about. So keep up your courage, men, he says. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. What has God told you? Over the years, I know my frailties, and I'm sure you do too. Not know my frailties, but your own. You know your weaknesses. But God chooses the weak things to confound the wise. I can't do this, Lord. You can imagine the Spirit saying, good, because I can through you. Trust me. But Paul says to these people who have lost all hope, after saying, keep up your courage, eat some food, be strengthened. He said, for I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. There are promises that God's given you through his word and through his rhema. In other words, he's spoken to you. When you became a Christian, you read things like, I'll never leave you or forsake you. It's the same truth. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this is a meaty word, an encouraging word, it's because it's his truth. I may speak with a loud voice, but that's just me. But whether we speak in a soft voice or a loud voice, the truth is still the same. For I have faith in God. Do you have faith in God? Well, that it will happen just as he told you. What's he told you? Let's have ears to hear and eyes to see. And it talks about being run into an area where they were fearing that they would be dashed against the rocks in verse 29. And it says, they dropped four anchors and they prayed for daylight. And that's the backdrop of what I've been using and just anchoring my thoughts on. But it's scripture, it's biblical. It's not a story of someone else's life. It's a story of Paul, one of the greatest apostles that we read of. And remember, Paul used to be Saul. He used to be a persecutor of the way. So when we start to get romantic and go, oh yeah, Paul, this mighty apostle, he was, he is. But he was frail, just like me and you. He was a sinner that needed saving, just like me and you. He was somebody who thought he was doing the right thing at the right time, but with the wrong motives. And then God spoke to him, and God's spoken to you if you're a Christian today. He's spoken to you, and you are a mighty man, woman of God. With your frailties, with your doubts, we can cast them upon God, and we can say, Lord, I'm putting down the anchors that will keep me secure in the storms of life. You know what your storm is. You know what the anchor is. The anchor is his word. The anchor is when we pray. The anchor is the hope that we have in him. There are many things that will anchor us. There's a foundation that's firm, the Bible says. No one can lay any foundation other than the one that's already laid. That foundation will keep you strong and safe in the storms of life. When we start to look at the parable about the house that's built on the sand, one of the things that strikes me is you can have two houses built and they look identical. If you've ever gone onto an estate and there's two houses that are built the same, they look the same. But can you imagine going to purchase one of them houses and you're told by the estate agent, that house is built on rock, but this house is built on sand, but the price is the same. This one, I say take this one because it's got a better view, but it's built on sand. You're not going to do it, are you? Why do we do it then in our Christian walk? Why do we start to build things that are on sand? We start to speak into situations and circumstances, but it's sand, it's not solid. What does God say? There'll always be a challenge for a Christian. We can either compromise, or we can say, God, you tell me, you show me. You tell me, you show me. So let's be individuals that will lay hold of God's truth. In 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, it says, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people. Mentioned the same scripture last week. But for us to get God's word into us, we need to know it. We need to understand it. We need to eat it. We need to digest it. So petitions, we can come together and say, let's pray collectively for God's blessing. I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. Do you want to be blessed? I do. But Bible says it's not so that I can just be blessed, it's so that I can be a blessing. If I haven't got it, I can't give it. If I had three houses, I'd give one to Karen. But I can't give her a house because I haven't got them. And it comes the same with grace and humility and love and compassion and faith. If we haven't got the faith, then we can't share that faith with someone else. So we need anchors to keep us in the storms of life. And you know what your storms are. So I'm just here to articulate God's word, to read it, and for you to allow God to convict you, convince you, strengthen you, encourage you, so that you can believe that you are who God says you are. You are who God says you are. I urge you then that petitions and prayers, intercession, that there's a time where God will put something on your heart and you'll keep praying and praying until you see the outcome. But Father God, this is so hard. But Lord, I thank you for your truth. I thank you for your word. And thanksgiving be made for all people, except that person that rubs me up the wrong way. No, it says all people. All people, our friends and our enemies alike. That Lord, when we pray, I want to encourage you. When we pray, when we intercede, when we lift up our hearts and we pray about a circumstance, there should be thanksgiving. Not giving thanks for the persecution, but being thankful that Christ is with us as we go through the persecution. When we see a loved one who's suffering, we're not thanking God for that suffering. We're thanking him that he's the one that will take away that suffering. We know that if we're sick in our body, we have an eternal body to look forward to. So we can thank God for that. We can lift up our voice through petition, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving. So that we may be all those that God has called us to be. So God's word is all powerful. It's truth. But you know what? You can take a portion of scripture. If you're a wordsmith, which I'm not. If you are someone that is clever with their words, which I am not. You can take a portion of scripture and isolate it and make it say what you want it to say. But if we take God's word as its entirety, we'll have a picture that will come out. There'll be a picture that will illuminate. If we have eyes to see and ears to hear, we will see and we will hear what God says to us. So I want to encourage us as a church to believe and trust his word. There are many good churches around. Let's be Christians that will feed on his word. In Luke 22, verse 39, it says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, a place that he would go and frequent very often. And there's times for me and you, we do things out of familiarity. I've recently moved house. And every time I pass the old road that I used to live in, I turn down and I head home. And then think, I don't live there anymore. It's habit, isn't it? I don't know if you've done that. You know, whenever I'm going into King's Lynn, my son now lives on an estate just before you get to the roundabout. And I go past his turning and I end up going into town. Because I'm thinking, well, I must be going into town because I'm going this way. And familiarity sometimes can breed contempt. And sometimes we become so familiar with something that we don't see the importance of it. Now, we can be familiar with God's word, but we miss something because we always do this. But it says here in this scripture, it's in Luke 22, 39, that Jesus was going somewhere where he went very often. On reaching the place, he said to them, they're his disciples that came along with them, pray. Pray that you will not fall into temptation. Someone spoke to me last week and said, but God doesn't tempt us. He doesn't. He doesn't tempt us. But scripture says, lead us not into temptation. Help me, Lord, to stay away from temptation. Words are very powerful. So if I was to say to you that God says that that I'm asking you to say to God through your prayers, Lord, help me not to be tempted. You go, I get that. But when we hear things like lead us not into temptation, we think God is leading us into temptation. He's not. He tests us. He tests us. He proves us, but he doesn't tempt us. And there's a difference. Lead us not into temptation. So for me and you, if we allow ourselves to be built on the rock when the wind of adversity comes, when the storms of life, when the suddenlies, however you want to put it, then his word, his hope, and prayer, which is relationship, it's a two-way relationship. We don't just pray to a God and hope for the best. It's a relationship. God answers. You know, one of my prayers had to be when I was a young Christian, and even now, is help me to still myself enough to listen to you. Because those that know me, I'm a motor mouth. And I'm talking to God as if he doesn't know my needs. But I don't just become still and say, Lord, speak to me. Lord, speak to me. So let's not fall into temptation. Let's not allow the enemy to tempt us, to draw us away, to say, like the devil did in the garden, did God really say that? That you listen to a hymn and it hits you and you go, wow, this is the year of the Jubilee. Father, I thank you that you're gonna just do a new thing in me this year. That the old has gone, the new has come. Did God really say that? That you had a word in season and someone was preaching, you was listening to a hymn or a secular song, or someone said something in the workplace and you go, yeah, that's for me. Did God really say that? That's where we can be tempted. Does God really want to strengthen me when my life has fallen to bits? When my bank balance is empty, did God really say that he would prosper me? Did God really say that he would strengthen me? Am I really built on the foundation? How come all the people that are around me that seem to be full of sin seem to prosper? Have I got this right? See, temptation creeps up on us, doesn't it? Or is it just me? It does. So in that storm, prayer is a anchor. Lord, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit. This is an encouraging word, as I said, and God's word will challenge us, it will encourage us, it will protect us. In John 17, verse 15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world. Talking about his chosen people now. And if we belong to Jesus Christ, then that's us as well. He says, my prayer, this is God himself, Christ, my prayer is that you don't take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth of your word. Set them apart by the truth of your word. Lord, protect them where they are. And that's you and me. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself. I set myself apart for them, that they too may be set apart, may be sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone, just those that you've gathered around me. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. So, it's not just my word. So when we talk about what Jesus is saying to his disciples, Jesus says further, it's not just for them. You know, when God wants to bless you, it's not just for those that we read about. It's not just the Pauls and the Peters. It's for you as well. And sometimes we can forget that because we're going through the storm. When Peter was in the boat, if you know the story, and I'm sure you do, where there was a storm all around them, and they saw Jesus walking on the water, and they were afraid, and I think I would be too. And Peter stood up and said, Lord, if it's you, call to me. And Jesus said, come. And that picture, that story, it says, Peter got out of the boat and began to walk. And then the scripture tells us, as he looked at the wind and the waves, he began to sink. It's so easy to sink. We're full of faith, and then we're full of flesh, and that's human nature. So what would I tell you to do in that situation? What would God tell you to do in that situation? Look up. Because if you're looking down at your feet, you're going to sink. If you look up, you're going to see Christ. So I want to encourage you that Jesus didn't just ask us to pray. He didn't just intercede to the Father for those that were with him on the day. It's also for me and you. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Do you believe in Christ through the message of salvation? If you do, this is for you, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're not on your own. You see, when we're born again, it's not one of these things where suddenly your pastor's going to get a zip wire and... Sounds good, don't I? Can we sort that out? It's not. Yeah, we've got the wires. We'll come off of those. But Christ, when we're born again, it means the Spirit of God, the same Spirit, remember, these are not my words, they're his words, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, Bible says, lives in you. So it's not me being clever, is it? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that same power lives in you, because once we were dead, now we're alive, the Spirit of truth lives in us as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. So there's more to come. We have an eternal life. So here, we accept Christ because we're sinners, and if we're sinners, we need a Saviour. He's already paid the price. The foundation is solid. Then there's a journey. God's doing a work in us. Less of me, more of you, Lord. So my word of encouragement this morning for you and anyone that may listen to this is be of good cheer. For Christ is in you and he's in me if we belong to him. May they also be in us, Trinitarian God, his Father, Son and Holy Spirit. There's nothing broken, nothing missing. We're righteous because of what he's done for us, but we need to keep clean hearts and short accounts. I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. And it goes on to say, me and you and me. It's a word of encouragement that when we're in the storm of life, to look up, to give thanks, to give praise, to be hopeful, to have a relationship with him. I'm sure there's times where you think, do I have to get up this morning? Do I have to go to church? No, you don't. But if you do, there's something that happens in the natural and something that happens in the supernatural. That God encourages you. He stirs you up. Because if you just think about the logical human side of this, okay, if Christ is in you, and 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 me, when we gather together, if I have a small amount and you have a small amount, then God's power is here. We say things like the presence of God. Well, the presence of God is with you. So when there's more people who truly trust God, who are living according to his plans and purposes, even though we get it wrong and we stumble and we fall, we know we're sinners who are saved by grace. We know that the foundation is him. We know that we have a hope. We know that there's an anchor for our souls. We know that we have a communication line with him. Then his presence is with us. The Holy Spirit is here. It's in you. It's in me. So collectively we come as we worship, whether it's loud or whether it's soft. As we worship, we lift up our voice. We're singing out truth. And what I was really encouraged with today is I listened to those words. They resonated with me. It's talking about Christ, him coming back. It's talking about salvation. It's talking about his blood, his revelation. So be encouraged that Jesus is praying for you and for me and for all those that will come because of the word. The word. So if you're in the storms of life, and you find yourself sinking, do what Peter did. Stretch out your hand and say, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. Let's be those that encourage one another as we look into his word. Okay, I've just frozen. In Romans 8, verse 34, who then is the one who condemns? Now, we could take this scripture. I like God's word, so let's go right the way up. Let's look at more than conquerors. Means we sang the song. We're more than conquerors. Have a great story about that. Haven't got time to share it. But we are more than conquerors. What then shall we say in response to these things? In response to the things, the persecution and the lies that are being spread out there, where Christians are being burnt at the stake and beheaded and sawn in two. What should we say about the things that the world is saying about us? What will you say about justification and glorification as we read up? What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Oh, Lord. But that's truth, isn't it? That'll keep us secure in the storms of life. As we pray, it's a communication. We can use it as a prayer. Lord, what shall we say in response to the things that are happening around me? Lord, if you are for me, who can be against me? That's a prayer. He who did not spare his own son, Father, but gave him up for us all, you and me, how will he not also along with him graciously give us, you and me, all things, not just some things, but all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? Who's going to bring any charge against you, his people? Who, it says, question mark. Is it God who justifies? Who then is the one who condemns? Who is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is now at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Interceding for you. You're not on your own. There's times in my life where I've been in a dark place. I don't mind admitting that. And I felt, humanly speaking, that I was all alone. And then there'd be a whisper in my ear and a prodding in my back. And God, through his spirit and grace and graciousness to me, would say, you're not alone, for I am with you. I'm interceding. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? The answer is no. No. So prayer is an anchor in the storms of life. Can I encourage us to read God's word, to digest God's word, even when we go through tough times, especially when we go through tough times? Because familiarity, I've always done this and I've always got that. Well, if we keep doing what we've always done, we'll get what we've always got, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. Familiarity sometimes, and then suddenly, You know, if we look around the world at the moment, there's a great fear out there, isn't there, because of the coronavirus. You know, when we're somewhere and someone goes, unclean. And we're all going to go out and buy bells and put the bell on so we can know where you are. But no, seriously, there is a fear, isn't there? Now, we are not to be fearful, but we are to be cautious. Don't go into the lion's den unless the lion has no teeth. You know, there are circumstances that we could, as Christians, say, well, if God is for me, who can be against me? He's given you a brain. He's given me a brain. He's given me opportunities. If I need some help, I'll go to the doctors and get some help. If I don't need to go into that busy transport situation, I won't. But if I do, then I'll believe that God's going to bless me and encourage me and he's going to protect me. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. See, there's an obligation for me and you. Not to be foolish, but to be faithful. Christ in me, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I know that when I speak, because I read scripture, I go through a lot of God's word. But there is a theme here. And the theme is that Christ is enough. In the storms of life, he is sufficient. But we have an obligation. When the fear of the world is all around us, we need to have eyes to see and ears to hear. And we need to make good decisions. Good decisions. Because they'll bring honour to God and they'll bring protection to us. We don't need to be fearful, but we need to be faithful. And we need to be observant, and we need to hear the truth and let the truth set us free. Therefore, I tell you, in Mark 11, verse 24, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. So if we take a scripture and we isolate it, we'll just read, Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe for it, and you'll receive it and it's yours. Father, I thank you that you've... And then there's something I have against someone else, and I've got this bitterness. And the bitterness and the unforgiveness is like a dam that will stop God blessing us. Because we need to read all of God's word, because it's an anchor. When we pray, we're asking for something. We're believing that we're going to receive something, but we're also acknowledging that there may be something that we need to hear from God afresh on. So let's be a forgiving people. Keep short accounts with one another, short accounts with him. Two more scriptures, if you can just bear with me a few minutes. James 1, verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. So not my words, his words. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Who said church was a safe place to be? Christ is the rock in which we stand on and which we build on. The Spirit of truth lives within us. We have an opportunity to be full of faith or full of fear. That when the storms of life come, we know that his hope is an anchor for our soul. We know that his word is truth that will keep us secure. And we know that when we pray, we have a relationship knowing that Christ will intercede for us. But there are times that we make decisions and we take our hands out of God's hand. When we're in a mess, we say things like this. Maybe not you, but some of us. Me, at times. Where are you, God? I don't feel you around me. Why can you let this? Why have you let this thing happen to me? Well, when temptation comes, it's not from God. See, the person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires. Anything other than what God says is evil. Sorry, guys. And we can be enticed. Then after desire has conceived, after we've given in other words, to that sin, it gives birth to sin. And then sin, when it's fully grown, it gives birth to death. Something in us dies. So when we don't take God's word as truth, having read all of it, saying, Lord, what are you saying to me? Let's measure it up with your word. When we've done all that and we've then chosen to ignore it and walk away, it's our own evil desires. I was saying to Susan the other day, there's a time in my life where, well, there still is a time in my life, if I see something I want, and I want it, you know, it could be anything. Let's use a car as an example. I used to work with cars, and I'd see a car, and I'd go, I can restore that. And it would be full of rust, and I wouldn't see the rust, because I wanted the car. The engine wouldn't start, but I wanted the car. I paid far more for the car than what it was worth, but I wanted it. It was my own evil desires. Now, I'm not saying you should pray whether to buy the old restoration car or not. But what I'm saying is, when it didn't get restored, when I lost £1,000 on it, I couldn't blame God for it. It was me. It was my own evil desire. And there are times in our lives that we can say, well, I prayed about this and I'm at peace. And then we wonder why our life is a wreck, because we prayed about it. God has said no, but we want it. So it's temptation. We should pray that we're not led into temptation. That's what that means. Lord, help me in my walk. Lord, help me to stay clean and pure. Help me, Lord, create in me that clean heart. What a great psalm that is. Create in me a clean heart. Renew a right spirit. I am have a right standing with you, Lord. Their evil desires are they're enticed. Then after desire has conceived, there's still time to repent, remember? But after it's conceived, it gives birth to sin. There's something that comes from the inside, and then when sin is fully grown, it overtakes us. And instead of life, there's death. Why do I bring these scriptures? I'm glad you asked. So that we can be encouraged, because it goes on further down in verse 16. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Affirmation. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like the shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth. Yes, we could fall, but God is more than enough. Let's read all of his word. That we might be a kind of first fruits. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Help me, Lord. And slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. This is the year of Jubilee. This is the day of salvation. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. See, God's word is challenging, isn't it? And if I wasn't quoting scripture, you could be forgiven for thinking he's bringing a harsh word, but I'm not. I'm just bringing the word. But I think it sets us free because it's truth. And the more truth we know, the more free we'll be. Final scripture, and I'll just read a portion rather than all of what I intended as we finish with worship. It's in James 4, starting at verse 4, verse 1. It says, what causes fights and quarrels among you? It's a fair question, isn't it? Then he goes on to answer it. Don't they come from your desire that battles within you? And Paul talks about this. You know, the good I want to do, I struggle with, but the things I shouldn't do, I find easy. And that's a battle within us. That's why when we're in a battle, we should put on the full armor of God. We should be in communion with him, saying, Lord, help me as I go into my workplace. Lord, protect me by your grace. Cover me by your blood. Let's put on the armor of salvation. I belong to you, Lord. There's a shield of faith and there's a sword of the Spirit. You desire, but you do not have. So you kill and you covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you can spend what you get on your pleasure. You adulterous people, in other words, you're following other gods. I was serving the god of me. I want that car. I was serving the idol of BMW 6 Series that I wanted to restore in 1935. Limited edition, red. You adulterous people, you're serving other gods. Does God want to bless me? Yes. But I put the car first and not him. You know that friendship with the world means enmity against God, the enemy against God. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you not think Scripture says without reason that he is a jealous God? He longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us, but he gives us more grace. You see, the Bible is full of good news, isn't it? But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble, grace to the humble. Finish with this, verse 7. How do we cope with the storms of life? Scripture tells us, submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Who is our enemy? The devil. How do we resist the devil? By submitting to God. Simple as that, isn't it? Come near to God through prayer, through praise, through thanksgiving, and he will come near to us. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, wail. Change your laughter into mourning and your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. Father, I can't do this, but you can through me. I'm going to leave it there and ask our worship team to come back and lead us in a hymn as we take up our tithe and our offering, believing that God is a gracious God. And just going back to, as they come, just going back to that illustration, that backdrop of the anchors in the storms of life. That God's word is an anchor. The hope that we can't see but we're expecting of through faith is an anchor. And prayer, relationship, is an anchor. And it will keep us grounded when all around is sinking sand. He remains the same. Amen. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. Father, we thank you that if you are for us, then who can be against us? Father, we thank you that we belong to you. We thank you, Lord, that when temptation comes, you're the anchor for our souls. That you're the light that will guide us. That you're the strength that will restore us. That you're the favor that's lavished upon us. Father, we thank you that when we sin, you forgive us. When we stumble, you pick us up. When we fall, you restore us. You remind us, Father God, when we feel that we have no hope, that our hope is found in you. You remind us that you're coming back for a victorious church. You remind us, Father God, that we are who your word says we are. We are forgiven. We are strong. We are filled with your grace, filled with your spirit. We're empowered, Father God, to be what you've called us to be. So help us this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Let's take up our offering.